Father God, we thank you again for this morning, this beautiful day that we've all come to be here. As we read your scripture, Lord, your words, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds for the message that Chris is to bring us this morning that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is his good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Just as our body has many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage each other, be encouraging. If it is to give, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Praise be God.
I've been preaching so long without behind the podium, I may feel a little bit uncomfortable, so if I pick it up and start wandering around with it, you'll know why. There's an old story, you may have heard it before, about a man who is sleeping in his bed. It's Sunday morning. His mother calls up and says, "It's time to go to church." And he says, "Oh, Mom, I don't want to go to church. The people there make fun of me. They don't really like me. Nobody ever listens to what I say. I'd rather stay home in bed. But son, you've got to go. Give me two good reasons," he says. And the mother replies, "Well, for one thing, you're 40 years old. And for another, you're the pastor." Perhaps more true than we want to admit. We have a culture now that as an attitude that people don't need to go to church. Many years ago, a Gallup poll showed only one half of American people thought it important to go to church. It's less now. And also, several years ago, 75% said it was possible to be a good Christian without going to church. It's probably more now. In other words, most Americans think that in religion we can separate believing from belonging. And it's not really surprising. We live in a society which cherishes rugged individualism. We make heroes out of John Wayne and Tom Cruise, the Top Gun fighter. We are given messages 100 times, 100 different ways that look out for number one. It's all about you. You know, that new AT&T commercial now, you know, our job is, you know, to make you better. That's what we do. Our thing is to help your thing. And the Coca-Cola commercial, which I do not understand at all. The guy walks along and says, your thing may be to do whatever. It may be to pull your hair out, but go ahead and do that. But my draw, I like Coke. You know, I have no idea what that meant. But what, except that it's, you do your thing. Well, there is a sense, a strong sense in the scriptures, that our relationship with God does begin with God and me. And in some ways, that was a different emphasis over the last few centuries. But there is this idea that God is God and me. Salvation is an individual experience. And in fact, there's an old saying, there's no such thing as spiritual parents or spiritual grandparents. There are people who think they are Christians because they grew up in the church. And you have to come sooner or later and embrace faith yourself. You must be born again, says Jesus, not that you grew up in the church. Growing up in the church is a good thing, by the way, and having spiritual parents is a great thing. Some of us didn't have that. Some people didn't have that. I don't have that. But in the end, you have to come yourself. And you know what the promise is? It's an amazing, it's over and over and over again in the scriptures. I love the scripture in Revelation, which says, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. You hear what it says? The God of the universe who made every galaxy, hundreds and thousands of galaxies, and all the stars within it, knows you and will give you your own name that only he knows and only you know. Wow. There's a personal relationship there that we should not forget. That God knows you by name. And salvation is an individual experience. But secondly, yes, it begins with God and me, but it goes on so that it's God and we. Now, the last few weeks I've been preaching on through John, and for the next few weeks, I've changed a little bit through the influence of the committee that wants to begin to think about our mission and vision. I'm going to be talking about different things. And today, I want to talk about membership. And next week, it's going to be kind of an M sermons series, if you will. We're going to talk about maturity. And then we're going to talk about mission or ministry, excuse me, and then mission. Today, membership. You know, the Bible is full of the idea that we belong to something bigger than ourselves. The children of Israel, the church. Yet in America, we've got this idea that we don't really need to belong. And you can see it in all kinds of organizations today. Many people are struggling with getting people to join things. And many people come to church and never really join. The average is 2 years if somebody joins a church. They come and it takes them a couple. And that's fairly natural. I don't have any trouble with that. But a lot of us don't want to join anything. You know, there's a lot of what I call street theology out there, that people believe a lot of things that just may or may not be true. One of the things that people believe is that, the Old Testament's full of the law and the New Testament's about grace. But I just say you haven't read the Old Testament. It starts with the grace of God given to Adam and Eve and saying, you've messed up, but I'm still going to work salvation and I'm going to take care of you. The grace of calling a man a pagan man, a fully pagan man, out of a pagan society, his name was Abraham, or Abram at the time. The grace of choosing King David and forgiving him, and Israel, I mean, you read the book of Judges, and it's one, or even Exodus and Leviticus, it's every other chapter is how they mess up. And then the next chapter is how God brings them back. It's all about grace. Well, another idea is that it doesn't really talk about how we should join a church. Okay, it doesn't say thou shalt go join the Presbyterian church. I admit that. But every image in the New Testament and the whole Bible is about being together. We are what? The body of Christ. We are a building, a temple, put together with the chief cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Image after image after image is about being together. Clearly there is God in me, but clearly there is also how God wants us to be God and we, created to be community. Rick Warren says this. He says, we are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, formed for a family, and none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. The Bible says we are put together, joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, held together, and will be caught up together. A lot of togethering there. The body of Christ, the church, is where we learn how to love. It's a place where we learn to be less selfish. It's a learned, you know, people complain about the church all the time, and sometimes rightly so. There are some churches that aren't that great. But no church is perfect. You know, as a pastor, I've been a pastor a long time. And people say to me, how can people in the church act that way? And in my cynical moments, I will say, what do you expect from a bunch of sinners? And that includes me. It's not a perfect place, but it's a place where we learn how to love other imperfect people, as God does. And so it is God and me, God and we, and the church is a place where we not only survive, we thrive spiritually. Jesus says the whole faith is summed up in loving God and loving others. Where do you learn how to do that? You learn it in the church. I read a story about a man in Australia who was arrested and charged with stealing a sheep. But he protested that he owned the sheep and that it had been missing for many days. And so when the case came to court, the judge didn't know how to decide. But finally, he asked the sheep to be brought into the courtroom. And he ordered the plaintiff, the man who had accused the man of stealing the sheep, to step outside and call the animal. And he did, and the sheep didn't do anything. Then he instructed the defendant to do the same thing, and the sheep came running. He says, it's obvious who owns this sheep. He understood the voice of his master. Where do we learn the voice of our master? Do we do it just alone? Certainly it's part of that. But you know, alone, by ourselves, we're so apt to hear other voices. And we live in a time where we hear thousands of messages, it seems like, every day. Hundreds of voices trying to get our attention through advertisements and through philosophy, through politics, you name it. And then there are voices in our head about, well, you know, all kinds of things. You're an idiot. You're this, you're that. Or the other side, you're the most wonderful thing since sliced bread. There are people like that. How do you know what's God's voice and what isn't? Well, sometimes we know it by our friends, by our family, by people in church. We learn. That's what we learn, slowly but surely, if you will. I remember God was calling me to leave a church and go back to school. And I didn't want to leave this church and go back to school. Fought it for 6 months. Fought the voice of my wife, fought the voice of God in my heart, fought all kinds of stuff, and didn't want to do it. Wasn't going to do it. But I talked to a deep, dear friend, Christian friend, before I had to make the decision. And I kept hoping he would tell me, Chris, you're right, you don't need to go. He said, Chris, it was a chance of a lifetime. You got to go. And I went, oh, rats. But I wouldn't have heard the voice of God, or I actually heard it. I just was saying, no. And God said, through a friend, that you're wrong. And that's where friends come from, in church or godly friends. If you're by yourself, you don't have that. And yet we think we can get along without others. We need each other to watch each other's spiritual back. Philippians 2 says, each of you should look not only for your own interests, but the interests of others. Because belonging makes us stronger. Some witty person once said that where two or three are together, you have a mess. And again, that's true in church. It's a mess. Church is messy because it's full of people. And I love you. I'm your pastor, but we're all a mess. We're a mess. And people don't always get along. But sometimes that's very true because any relationship between people is messy. I mean, just think of your own family. I won't ask you to give up and get up and give me testimonies about your family and how messy it is. I know mine is. I know I am. But who is it that prays for us, looks after us, loves us? Our families? Yeah, sure. But sometimes even our families don't. But our larger family does. And sometimes it's the only place that we can go to our larger family. You know, I think we forget that even when we marry someone, it's a temporary arrangement. God puts us together for a lifetime, but it's only this lifetime. Jesus declares that we won't be given in marriage when we go to heaven. But so we get to share our lives with a person, and it's a wonderful privilege. It's a great thing. But the forever friends that we have here will be forever. Our wives and our husbands are forever friends too, if they're believers. But you guys, I hope to see for a long, long time after it's all over with. We will be together, and we'll look forward to walking down wherever we are. The streets of gold, I think, are symbolic. It's just going to be so amazing. He calls it the streets of gold. It's an incredible existence. But we will know each other, and I look forward to that. That's why God calls us into a relationship. Not perfect now, but it will be. And finally, there's so much else we could say. There is so much we could say, but together we can do so much more for God. Paul says in Corinthians, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. As I said before, there are always problems with organizations. Always. I often say and joke a little bit and say I've been a part of two of the slowest, most inefficient organizations in the entire world, the U.S. Army and the church. And sometimes it's frustrating. But I also wouldn't give away my experience with the Army or the church. because looking back on it, they've been the best things. I had an old gentleman say to me one time, you need a bucket to carry water. In other words, you have to have a structure and an organization to accomplish anything of significance. Yes, and it's inefficient, but sometimes it's the best. So I'd simply like to challenge you, or maybe just encourage you. If you're a member of this church, recommit yourself to it. Keep recommitting yourself to it. You know, God may call you somewhere else, and that's fine. But while you're here, be a part of it. Get what you can out of it, but also give what you can to it. If you're not a member, I don't judge you, but I encourage you. And please think about it, about being a part of this place. God, again, may call you to a church up the road. That's fine. Be a part of something. God's people somewhere. Because I don't think that God wants us to be alone. I think that's pretty biblical. So I encourage you to be strengthened and be a part of the family of God that he has given to you, as imperfect as it is, in this place, in this community, wherever you happen to be going. Thank you, Lord, for the church. I pray that you would be with these people. We thank you for this place as long as it's been here and all the folks who are here and for as long as it will be here for a long, long, long time. We pray for its health and its vitality. We pray that you would fill it with your spirit and bless it and numerically, but also and especially spiritually. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.